Well, listen, we want to welcome you to the Loving Our Community Christ call. We do this monthly, and this time it's in October of 2016. My name is Lee Kuei, and normally Phil Migliorati is with me on the call as well. Phil is with Mission America Coalition, and he and I have done these calls for several months along the way, just seeking to find people in different cities to interview that just sort of expands and enhances the whole idea of prayer, care, share in a city. And this morning, we have Jason Hubbard with us. Jason is actually Dr. Jason Hubbard, earning his D.Min. From Talbot Seminary recently. And he has been a prayer pastor at Christ the King Church up in Bellingham, Washington. And now he is the last couple of years, since 2009, he has been the founder and director of Light of the World Prayer Center there. And along the way, Jason has discovered and a pretty powerful process of a simple yet profound process of rallying prayer to develop what we can call a canopy over a city. And so Jason is with us. Jason, we want to welcome you. Glad that you're here.
Thank you, Dennis. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your journey from prayer pastor at Christ the King to the establishment of the Light of the World Prayer Center.
Yeah, sure. Started working as an associate pastor, teaching pastor at Christ the King in 2000. And then I got handed the prayer ministry in 2003. A bit reluctantly, as is often the case in a lot of local churches, I started prayer and it was a struggle, not only for me, but for our church as well. I remember one point being in our little prayer room and wanting to just go back to my office saying, God, why do we need to do this thing called prayer? And the Lord convicted my heart and said, do you think you can do this better than me? And I was provoked that, you know, we were doing a lot of ministry in our own strengths, our different programs and things that weren't actually that effective. And so in 2007, we launched a strategy to see 24/7 prayer right in our local church. So we asked a couple hundred people to sign up, take an hour of prayer once a week to pray for the church and those that are about to come. And saw a tremendous breakthrough that year in our church. We were a pretty big church, stuck at about 2,500 people. And then after we had seen night and day prayer coverage in our church, that calendar year we grew by 1,000 people. We had 360 water baptisms of new believers, and saw a tremendous breakthrough. So really learned at that point that God really desires his people to connect with him in the place of prayer. Mission gospel movements raised up in our community. So,
well, good. And one of the things we mentioned about this call is we said this simple process that is being implemented in Whatcom County has seen measurable results. And you just shared some very specific measurable results that happened at your church. But let's broaden out. Let's zoom out a little bit and talk about the city of Bellingham, the county of Whatcom. And as you guys have been praying 24/7, encouraging 24/7 prayer in the county over the last 7 years or so, just share with us a couple measurable results, things that you've prayed for and then things that you've seen. Let's brag on God for just a little bit, okay?
Yeah, sure. Well, and I want to give all credit to the Lord here, too. This is not about us. This is what he's been doing and prompting us first.
Jason, hold on a second here. If others of you, if you could poke the mute button on your phone, we're getting a little bit of extra noise here. So poke the mute button and you'll have opportunity to interact later. So I'm sorry, Jason, go ahead, please.
Yeah, but just want to say on the front end, this is all for his glory and it's his doing. He's the one that's prompting us to pray. And
Amen.
He's acting in response to our prayers, so we give him all the praise. But we have seen some tremendous results, first in the way of church planting. Here in our little community, we've seen about 80 new local churches planted in about a 10-year period. In terms of evangelism, We've seen 8,400 new believers baptized in water since 2009. It's something we pray consistently for new disciples of Jesus. In terms of church unity, we have an increasing movement of unity amongst our pastors. We have 60 to 90 senior pastors that meet together monthly for prayer, to pray for our community and build spiritual friendships together. We're often praying for a John 17 expression where the Father would make us one as he and his Son are one, so that the world might know that the Father sent his Son. And that he loves the world as he loves his Son. We've also, in terms of justice, Jesus said in Luke 18 that if God's people, his elect, would cry out to him night and day, that he would bring forth justice. And we've seen that. We've seen a decrease in measure of our numbers of abortions since 2007. We've seen an increase of the number of adoptions to Christian families. We've seen an increase in the foster care system. And then I would say in the last 5 years, a real exciting story, we started a safe house called Engedi for women that are coming out of prostitution and been rescued out of trafficking. Most of these women are coming from the Seattle region. An amazing statistic. Over the last 5 years, they have a 90% success rate of women that have now seen a measure of recovery in transitional housing and getting jobs. 25 of these women have given their hearts to Christ in the last 5 years. It's phenomenal. And we give God all the praise. One of the exciting things, too, working with our Hispanic churches, one of our primary prayer focus items for the last 6 years, we asked the key Hispanic pastor in our community, how many churches have you planted? Have you seen some results in evangelism? They have planted 12 local churches right here in this community, and they've water baptized 1,200 new believers in that six-year time frame amongst those churches. Just amazing. In my book, I would consider that a true move of the Spirit. We might call it even revival in our Hispanic community happening right now. So praise the Lord.
How about that? First Nations. Mm-hmm. Jason, share with us about what's going on with the First Nations up there.
Oh, yes. So we have a real heart to pray for Native Americans up here. And so we've been praying for the Lummi Nation for several years. And just the last 2 years ago, they have planted their first local church there, indigenous-led. It's a small church, home church type a movement, but the Lord's beginning to breathe on that, and we continue to pray, God, would you seek and save the lost amongst our First Nations brothers? God has given us a mandate, primary mandate, to pray and build a house of prayer for all nations, but first for the First Nations.
Very good. So Bellingham, Whatcom County is different than it was several years ago. And one of the key reasons why is because there's been this 24/7 prayer, crying out day and night, worshiping Jesus, crying out to him for his power, his presence to be in different places in Whatcom County. It's a good story. And there's many more measurable results we could talk about, but let's turn the page now. And just unpack, please, this process that the Lord has led you into, some of the specifics of how does this 24/7 prayer work itself out in Whatcom County?
Sure. Well, first I want to say, in terms of our motivation to pray, we really have a heart to see Christ have supremacy and preeminence in every sphere of society in our community. We're convinced it's the Father's supreme joy to put his Son on display in real people's lives, in real families, in local churches here. We pray often in the words of David Bryant for a Christ awakening, where the Spirit would use the Word of God to reawaken God's people back to God's Son for all that he is. And that really is the motivation, that the Lamb who was slain would receive the reward of his sufferings. And we think that one of the ways to do that, to facilitate that kind of a Christ awakening, is to see a united, sustainable prayer movement raised up, local church-based. And so we've done, first kind of step in our strategy, we call it Day to Pray, is to ask churches to take a day of prayer once a month, every month, a full 24 hours of committed prayer. So a church would pray, you know, second Tuesday of the month, third Friday of the month. Right now we have 40 churches that do that. So even as we're on the call right now, if they're all praying, which I'm sure they're not, but let's say they are on paper, we would have 40 people praying right now during this call in our community for our churches. We gather prayer coordinators from each of these prayer teams in these churches to build vision, to build a strategy, to learn from one another, best practices. That's been a great place of unity to pray together for our community. So that's first step, build a canopy of night and day prayer and praise, local church-based. And then second, we want to discover how can we pray effectively for the Father's will, for what's on the Father's heart for transformation. And so we've developed seven, we call them strategic teams, in the seven spheres of cultural influence. So we have an education team, a business team, a government team, media team, healthcare team, family and the church. And these teams are led by a kingdom-minded leader, spirit-filled believers that work in the marketplace in those spheres. And we ask them, what do you sense is on the Father's heart for transformation? And we develop a prayer guide around that of specific and measurable prayer items so that we're praying for real felt needs in our community. So that's step two. And then third step is we have a real robust communication system where we put together a prayer guide from these strategic teams, and we send those to the prayer coordinators. So each of these 40 churches that take their day of prayer once a month, every month, are praying together in united and sustainable prayer. So that's the first thing we do. And then the second thing in our communication is we put together a praise report. When we see God answer prayer of these specific, measurable, focus items, then we give God the credit. We honor him for what he's done, and we let our prayer teams and prayer people know and our churches know how God's answering specific prayer. Again, all for his renown, all for his supremacy. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Night and day prayer canopy. Number two, strategic teams in the marketplace so we know how to pray effectively according to God's will. And number three, a communication system of a prayer guide and a praise report.
And then you mentioned that you seek to gather together and equip congregational prayer coordinators. Talk to us about that process. How do you find them? How do you encourage with them, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, typically talk to a pastor first in a local church and say, hey, who's your person who leads prayer? Maybe does the prayer vigil, does the prayer chain, you know, praying for needs in the local church. If they don't have an identified person of prayer in their church, then we work with that pastor and try and help them find somebody who would be a good fit for that role. Often take somebody who's somewhat administrative, not just a intercessor, and also somebody who's got some credibility with the church. What we really want to see is the church's prayer team, which I believe should be the whole church, typically we've got some committed people. We want them praying in alignment with that local church's mission and vision that God's given them, working directly with their pastoral staff, elders, leadership team, et cetera. And then we give them some real practical ways to see their day get started. So what's a good day that you guys could take that you could sign up maybe 24 people, maybe taking an hour prayer once on that day of prayer, or maybe 48 people taking a half an hour prayer. Maybe you've got a prayer room in your church that you could invite people down to pray. Really encourage it to be pastor-led, where the senior pastor and leadership are giving vision to this so it stays consistent. And we help train the coordinators as well, too, to how do you encourage and equip your prayer teams with some good prayer resources. Often we need to help people know how to connect with Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. So lots of great prayer resources out there available. So we'll gather these prayer coordinators together maybe once every 2 or 3 months and we'll share some vision. We'll talk about our prayer guide and praise report. We'll pray for one another, and then we'll also do some equipping, give them some good prayer tools for their church. But it's about my favorite meeting that happens of the year, especially we spend at least an hour on that evening praying together for our community. Just such a neat expression of, in part of John 17.
Well, very good. This gives us some sense of vision, some sense of what's taking place there. And one of the things, Jason, that I have seen about this simple process, the day to pray, is it's transferable. It is something that another city can pick up on and implement as well. And I know that some other folks have done that. In fact, Steve Buss is on the call from Eugene, Oregon. And I know that, Jason, you have infected Steve, and he has picked up on this. So, Steve, why don't you just talk a little bit about how this process has gotten worked out in your area of Eugene, Oregon?
Well, Jason's been a true friend and a great help and coach and encourager. So, Jason, again, all glory to God, but thanks for your investment in us. It's just been tremendous here in the Eugene Springfield area, Lane County area. We haven't fully engaged number 40, but 40 churches have agreed to be doing this prayer initiative, and it's been tremendous. I just have to say, to kick off the call, last night we had our once a year. So Jason talked about the strategic teams, and once a year, we've been doing this for 18 months, the prayer initiative, one church, one day. But last year we did this, and last night we did this for the first time, the only time this year, and that is we gather all the strategic teams together for an evening of encouragement. Because when these strategic teams gather, they gather individually. So the business team meets for an hour a month and discerns how to pray for business, and the government team and so forth. And we just had a dessert last night. Not everyone's able to make it, but we had 50 leaders in the room. City manager was there. Doctors were there. Businessmen were there. Artisans were there. Pastors were there. And it was just extremely, extremely encouraging, just being able to rejoice over the many answers to prayer and the way that God is bringing his people together to call out to him, and the impact that it's making throughout our community was just a delight. So I just wanted to kick the conversation off with that good news. So ask me another question, Dennis, because I probably didn't answer your question specifically.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Let's just unpack a little bit and say, let's do two questions to you, one at a time here. One, how did you implement it in the first place? What did you do to get things rolling? And then tell us a story or two about what's happened since it's taken place. Again, just like I encouraged Jason to brag on God just a little bit here as well.
Yeah. I want to brag on God, and I want to brag on the process a little bit. I think this is a little behind the scenes, and I think Jason can appreciate this, that in Bellingham with Jason, you know, he has Light of the World Prayer Center. He had that solid experience as an associate pastor at Christ the King, and there was intercession happening. With us here in our community, we've got a network of pastors and ministry leaders that have been praying. We had teams of intercessors from different communities praying together, and we've been doing this for years. And so there really was a foundation of prayer, relationship, and networking that was behind this. So I think that's really key to note. But we knew about Jason. We knew about One Church One Day, but there was a core group of people from different churches who were leading different intercessory, community-wide intercessory focuses. And we just said, we planned some things together, we coordinated our efforts, and we took actually a year. We would meet every week and say, God, increase the level of prayer in our community, increase the level of prayer, show us what we should do. And one day I was in conversation with Tom White, and Tom's just like, yeah, I met with Jason and another friend, and I think you guys are just ripe to do this. And we had just 2 days before felt like we were going to contact Jason. So anyway, that's how it came together for us. As soon as we started, because of those prayer relationships, that network of pastors that was already viable, well, the first thing we did, after that group of intercessors had been praying for a year, and we got this green light. We have a team of advisors that are senior pastors from a handful of different churches. And I went to that advisory group and I said, men, this is what I think the Lord's doing. What do you guys think? And it was unanimous, enthusiastic, instantaneous. Let's do this. Let's do this. Two of them were like, I could implement this with our elders next week. We got to do this. And so that was the first sign. Then we shared with smaller groups of people. And then we have a monthly gathering of pastors and ministry leaders. And so as we got clarity, talked to Jason on the practice of this, we brought that to the larger group. People were encouraged. People were excited. Then we started talking to pastors. Well, we need to develop strategic teams. Okay, if we're going to do this, we need a prayer coordinator, just these elements that Jason was talking about. So all that work had to be done, and it's good work, but it is work, and there's a lot of it. So that was really, really it was very collaborative from the beginning, and there was much foundation of relationship and prayer in place so that we could begin to launch this. So that's just a little bit of the backstory. But as we launched it, just like anything that's large like this, you know, you can't start with 40 churches, and you might not have, you know, every strategic team member on every team. So we did the soft start mode. So we ended up announcing this to all the pastors in November. We ended up soft starting in February of 2015. And we just had, I don't know, I think we soft started with 25 churches or something like that. And we didn't have all the teams, the strategic teams filled out, but we just started. And then we had a goal of, you know, getting everything lined up by May, so that by May we ended up having, I think we were a day short. We were just a day short of filling the month when we, like, officially launched on May, at the end of May of 2015. So that's some of the process that we went through.
Good. And, some impact of the prayers that have been measurable there in Eugene, Dan.
The first one that you can see on a video we put out was the fire chief of Eugene Springfield. We had been praying for a handful of months, and the largest fire that's been in our community for years happened. The old Civic Stadium, a 1920s built wooden a baseball-covered, bleacher-covered stadium burned down as kids were playing with fire one July. And it's in a tight neighborhood, businesses around it, homes around it, and it was, you know, it sat like 2,500 people. So it was a pretty large thing, and it went up in a huge inferno. I was swimming when it went up in flames two blocks away. At the pool and saw it, and flames were shooting 100 feet in the air. Anyway, it was a mighty fire. When we talked to the fire chief, he said, Steve, in my 30 years of being on the fire department, I've never been a part of an incident that large that was fought so perfectly. He said the right people arrived at the right time. They made all the right decisions. And that fire was contained. There was no major property damage to any other piece of property. And he said, Steve, this is what's really unusual. There were no injuries. We keep a minor injury log, and there were no minor injuries. He says, that is unnatural. It's supernatural. And so that was a big answer. That was kind of our first, like, this is significant. And the deputy fire chief is on the strategic team. And so he was greatly encouraged. We were greatly encouraged. One of the things that happened with government, this is the opposite of separation of church and state. So our government leaders, we got city manager of Eugene, mayor of Springfield, and two county commissioners on our government team. And there was this initiative in our county called Operation 365, and that it was an audacious goal to house 365 veterans in 2015. And there was a lot of agencies, a lot of governmental agencies working really hard to do that. But they came up with this plan. And so, of course, the government team was saying, hey, we need to pray for Operation 365. So we continued to pray for Operation 365. We tracked the numbers. We checked in with them. Okay, where are you at with your numbers? And we would put updates and know, keep on praying. We're moving at the end of the year. Instead of housing 365 veterans, they house 404 veterans. And it was miraculous. So to tag on that, we knew that information, but last year at the State of the City address given by the mayor of Eugene, who's not a believer, she's very liberal, but she's a great person, she was giving the State of the City, and of course she's telling good stories of things that happened in the community, and three of the things that she mentioned were things that we prayed for and were answers to prayer, and there were many strategic team members in the room, but one of them was Operation 365, another one was the fire department's response, and another one was just great job growth, and that's something that we prayed for specifically, and the city manager's been a part of some things that have taken place economically. We prayed specifically for the business sector and the government sector to work much better together. There's been a lot more harmony. Our consistent the consistent report from our city manager has been there's just a greater working relationship. We prayed specifically for 500 plus above average median jobs to come to our community, and there's been a lot of economic development. Eugene's being called the Silicon Shire, and all of this stuff is springing up. We've got a banker on our business team, and things are just really going very, very well in the community. So those are a few things that we've seen take place, and again, with Jason, we're just giving glory to God and just walking in the joy of being his kids as we agree together in prayer.
Good. Good stories. Good stories. Well, Jason, anything else that you want to share before we open it up to some other input here?
Yeah, I would just echo Steve. You know, to be honest, we're actually learning from him now and Eugene on how to do this. So
yeah,
we need to collaborate with some other leaders in other cities. Tom Victor in Houston has taken the strategy, and they've implemented this now in three different community areas in the city of Houston, and also at Denver. A few other cities are thinking about starting this. So, yeah, just, you know, again, I encourage anybody that's on the call that's hearing this, you know, I really think that a canopy of night and day prayer is critical. To see transformation to the glory of God, to see real transforming revival. There's great transforming gospel movements happening all over the nation. But I do think we need a surge in consistent, united, sustainable prayer. And all this stuff will just go to a whole other level for the glory of Christ. So,
amen. You know, I want to jump in just really quick and just add one little tiny part about the seven mountains, the seven spheres. Jason prays into seven, and we pray into ten, and I'm not boasting about ten, but what we did, I brought this model to senior pastors and said, okay, here are these seven areas. You know, should we change the names? What should we call them? What do you guys think? And we decided to add three, and the three that we added were arts specifically. We've got a lot of visual arts, musical arts. We added police and fire as a specific category, and we added sports. So so we have 10 sectors that we pray into. So that's just a testimony that, you know, you can adapt this to your community, you know, what's highlighted in your culture, and you can find that sphere and pray also specifically into that.
Yeah, there's no secret formula as far as the number or the, you know, exactly how things get worked out. Just the idea is, in Scripture, there's this clear call to right now in heaven, there is this ongoing worship and ongoing prayer before the throne. And if we're to pray, let it happen on earth like it is in heaven, then it just makes total sense that we in different geographic areas would also say that we're going to give ourselves to this process of day and night prayer.
Yeah. Go ahead. I just want to say we had these pastors talking last night to strategic teams, and here's a consistent testimony from the church end of things. Pastor shared this very articulately last night that when people are praying specifically for, in our case, 10 sectors, they start to see our community in a different way. They start seeing answers. They start caring and seeing not only tangible answers, but they start thinking about the community. You're not just praying for Eugene or a blessing on the mayor. You know, you're praying specifically for government, specifically for businesses. And it's really, his testimony was, it's really changed the way, he's gotten this story from his people, it's really changed the way they see the whole community and the way God can impact the whole community. So that was a huge testimony. Another one that's been very significant is this is a tool that we serve pastors well with. Pastors want their people to pray and to get that relevant intelligence on how to pray, to have a rallying point every month to join with many other churches, to stand in the gap for our community. It motivates their people. It moves their people. It gives them a tool. It equips them to enable their people to do the work of the ministry. So that has also been a consistent testimony in our community. And both of those things are worth mentioning because it really is about discipleship. So that's more good news.
Well stated. Let's broaden this out and include others in the process here. This time I want to ask if any of you that are on the call that haven't yet spoken, if you have a question of Jason or Steve, you're welcome to address that. Ask them. This is a great opportunity to ask some guys who've been in the trenches and doing it here, 7 years and a year and a half. And then also, if you have a story to share that somehow something like this or something similar to this is taking place in your community, well, tell us a bit about that as well. So who would like to be first here?
Well, my name is Art Geis.
And Art, you're from what? Where are you from here?
I'm from Revival Capital of America, in Chicago, Illinois.
In Chicago, great. Yes.
I had a couple of questions, two things on two levels. I really appreciated what the brothers were sharing. This has been something that we've been trying to develop, a prayer tower in the city. This is where we can have 24-hour prayer going on. There are some significant prayer movements going on, but much to my chagrin, we've been unable to kind of bring about a convergence, and so we're working to try to establish that. We have John Feuder, who has been working with Pray Chicago, and he did a demographic study of the 77 neighborhoods of Chicago. And there's another faction that calls itself Chicago Praise. And so we're trying to do that, but there are a couple of questions I had. We've been working very successfully in a school in one of the highest crime districts of Chicago. It's one in two of the entire city of Chicago. This particular community has 6% of the population of all of Chicago, but it commits 25% of all the crime in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we established a prayer altar in this particular school. The teacher was very concerned because she had a number of students that had gotten killed, and she reached out to the pastors, and she finally got a hold of us. And it was so amazing at the timing of it because I had hosted a pastor from Uganda. His name is John Malinde, and he was coming into that community at the same time. And so we were able to establish a prayer altar there. They had at least 8 police cars in the morning and the afternoon when the kids got out to try to get them safe passage. Make a long story short, the school has dramatically been transformed, and the principal now is willing to share with how prayer has transformed our school with other principals. We want to take that to the next level and include other pillars, but also I am working with an entire region, the Great Lakes region of the Church of God, and we're trying to cast vision for these pastors to get on board. So I was wondering if you had some website or something like that I might be able to look at, maybe get some information that I can really pour over and maybe get an idea of how to incorporate these pastors into understanding how creating the right atmosphere is so critical to the work of God flourishing in the community.
Thank you. Jason, Steve, why don't you mention the websites from your ministries, and then we'll take another stab at it as well. But go ahead and mention your websites, please. Jason?
Yeah, ours is lowpc.org, so L-O-W-P-C P as in Peter, C as in cat.org. On the homepage, there's about a 12-minute documentary that shares some stories and testimonies of the strategy. You'll hear from some of our key pastors on there. That's been a great tool to inspire pastors. I would recommend, too, brother, I don't know if you're familiar with Cheryl Sachs, but she's another kind of national leader based in Phoenix. Love to get you in touch with her. Done some phenomenal work in the school systems and prayer. And she also just came out with a book called The Prayer-Saturated Family. It's all about seeing the family altar prayer in the home. And I know that's one of John's key principles as well. But they've seen some amazing results, real similar to what you're talking about. I think she might have some good ideas for you. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good. And Steve, your website?
Yeah, our website is, these are all words, One Hope Network. onehopenetwork.org. And so our network, we're a network of churches praying together and serving the community together. And we've got a One Church, One Day section. And we've got a video of, you know, some of the answers to prayer from our first year. And then the One Church, One Day section is a description of, you know, written description of what it is too. So anyway, let that be a resource. We also have all of our prayer guides we keep on the website too, so you can see what a prayer guide looks like. And we've also posted our answers to prayer documents also on the website, so you can look that up also.
I am interested if I need to, can I reach out to you through the website? Primarily because I think that I'm at a very, very critical point. I talk with our state representative, and he's very much on board with trying to incorporate the church to take some leadership in healing the divide between the African-American community and the police department, but also blanketing our area with prayer. So I have his ear right now, and he's really eager to do that. So I know that timing is important. So I want to kind of advance this as quickly as possible, but I wanted to maybe bounce some ideas. Again, I've been walking with John for the last 7-8 years, so we've learned definite strategies, but I think every situation is unique in itself. You know what I'm saying?
We
extrapolate the principles, but the strategy of how to implement them might be different from region to region, and that's what I needed to bounce off of you all, if that's okay.
That's great wisdom, my friend, great wisdom. And you can send me to both of these brothers through their websites, their contact information as well.
I'm sorry, I don't want to take up all your time, but thank you so much.
No, don't be sorry at all. This is exactly the reason why we're doing this call. That's wonderful. So good job. Yeah.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Please, and please identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Tim Bailey. I work for the North American Mission Board of Southern Baptists.
Good.
And
thank you.
I live in the western suburbs of Chicago.
Great.
I live in Elgin specifically, and I want to get this brother's contact information because God's been stirring my heart. I was down on the south side day before yesterday in Dalton, praying with a pastor, Brother Marl, about how do we impact that community and others. So,
good. I'll tell you what I'm going to suggest here is if after we stop recording the call, you two brothers at least stay on the call, and then you can share contact information. Okay.
Okay. Well, let me just share one more thing.
Sure.
When I was serving in Western Pennsylvania about probably 10 years ago. The Lord gave me a vision of creating a canopy over the Midwest, say, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philly. And I've been asking the Lord for wisdom to that, and he's been working, and I moved to Chicago a year ago, and he has begun to show me that we have to reach out in prayer to all of our believers, regardless of denomination. And I'm beginning to see some of that out here in the suburbs where I live.
Very good. Very good. And, Perhaps this is something you've heard on the call this morning could be applied to a region, not just simply a city or a county.
Yeah. Good. So my one question would be, we're trying to reach 10 million people in the third largest city in the country. How would you guys go about building your prayer support to reach a place this big?
Now, Jason, I'm going to point that to you and talk to us a bit about what Houston is doing, because Houston is the fourth largest geographic area, population area in the nation. Share with us what they're doing there.
Sure, yeah. So in Houston, they have broken up their city into 45 different regions, all about the size of Whatcom County, where we're here in Bellingham. So it's probably, 100 to 200,000 folks. And so what they're doing is working on getting 30 churches that take a day of prayer once a month, seven strategic teams working together in each of those 45, so that there would be all 45 communities at one point would see this coverage of night and day prayer. So same thing in Chicago, let's say. I think you mentioned 72 neighborhood regions. You're looking for 30 churches, 7 teams in each of those, so it becomes local. I don't know if you could do this much larger than that, just because it takes so much work on the communication side. So it's good to decentralize it, break it down into smaller communities. And then the people in the churches, too, own it more. These are their own, school superintendent, their own, police department, issues that are going on in their city that they'll relate to.
So how do you eat this elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah. I focus on just one. That's what they did in Houston. They did one in a kind of humble area. And once they got the testimony in that one, then they were able to share that with some of the other leaders, prayer leaders in some of the other communities.
Good. Well, listen, Jason and Steve, thank you so much for the time on this call. We keep this call about to about 40 minutes or so we're going to wrap it up. But again, the two brothers that wanted to exchange information, please stay on the line, and I'm going to wrap it up in prayer, and then we'll stop the recording and go from there. Father, thank you.
May I comment?
Yes, go ahead.
I came in late on your conversation, so I missed a good 15 minutes of your conversation. I am Jesse, and I represent Living Grace in Tacoma, Washington. We are a very small church, but we have been praying for the nation and our city and our state, and we are trying to expand on the seven spheres. And so we are very appreciative of all the information that we get. Stacy Moore was the lady who was going to be listening to you this morning, but she could not make it. So I am a lady that does not get involved too much into the church, because I've been very involved in the church in the past, and I got burnt out. So I am enjoying listening to you mighty pastors and what you have to say on prayer. So please keep even the small churches in prayer as well, because we are also coming alongside you. So thank you.
Good. Thank you. And this is Dennis. Greet Stacy for me. I've enjoyed contact with her in the past. So, yeah, let me pray, and we will wrap up this call here. Father, thank you that you're stirring more fresh prayer in many, many hearts individually, in families, as well as in communities, cities, and counties. And we pray that you would continue this all so that the Lamb of God would receive more and more praise, more glory, more people would love him, obey him, follow him, serve him, exalt him, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, brother, if you're still on, can we talk a second?
Yeah, I'm on.
Why not? Let me